This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by AML Foods Limited, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me at 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, Channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. You can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. BTC Flow Channel 612. Well, on the weekend, we did in fact have a 85th birthday celebration for my mother. She had a glorious time surrounded by her friends and the family. And so we thank God for that. Some of us shake our leg maybe a little bit too hard and wake up the following morning with far too many aches, but hey, it was worth it. Celebrate these people who bring you into this world, care for you, love you, and you know, in the in their older years are around for you to be able to say thank you and celebrate. And so she hit 85. If I, you know, for me to hit 85, I get to live 30 more years. Wow, that's nice. 30 more years. All right. So happy that went off. Well, the house was paroled. The house was paroled. And so I started getting text messages about that fact, and people asking, what does this mean, you know, etc. By now, I imagine that you know that the prorogation of the house does not mean that an election is coming. I hope by now you know that. Prorogue, P-R-O-R-O-G-U-E, is from an old French word, means to prolong, to extend, you know, which is in fact not what's going to happen, because in the instance of the prorogation of parliament, it means that a parliamentary session, you know, when you see the house, when the members of parliament were sworn in just after the election, that began a parliamentary session. Right now, that session could last as long as the prime minister desires, could last as long as he desires. But it is not unusual. It isn't quite practiced in our tradition as is practiced in some other traditions in the Westminster democracy. the system. But it, what happens is governments tend to fit their legislative agenda into sessions. So that, let's say theoretically, a government told the country at the beginning of a term, we are going to pass and amend at least 50 pieces of legislation. But what we are going to do is we are going to break those passage and amendments into periods. So we're going to do 10 in the first 12 months, 10 in the second 12 months, 10 in the third 12 months, 10 in the fourth 12 months, and the balance in the fifth year. So essentially, they're saying we're going to have 5 sessions of parliament. So while they may not prorogue, you know, they may decide, you know, we'll prorogue at each end of each session. And then, you know, that resets us. That's what it does. It resets. So you kind of get to start the agenda over again and so forth and move on that way. So it's not for an election. It's a kind of reset for the government, a legislative reset. It can be even a kind of political reset, right? Because things have been going a little choppy, some bad news here, bad news there. Maybe if we kind of just prorogue the parliament and get started with a new parliamentary session, we could announce some more, you know, more stimulating things to the country about what we want to do. Maybe we may be changing the governor general, and that we could swear the governor general in at that time, and then a new governor general could come and read the speech from the throne at that time. If that's what we decide to do, we don't have to do it. That's a tradition that was started, at least in terms of that government in the outside sunshine that was started under you, but Alexander Ingram. But so you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to do all that ceremonious thing. But you know, maybe so it's an opportunity for a reset, kind of, because you're talking about it. And who knows what's going to be announced in terms of new legislative initiatives. Who knows what other changes may come in and around this period. And it can be a reset. So again, no election is coming. It's just an end of a legislative session. That's all it is. And so the government says, okay, let's reset. We'll come back and let them know what we're going to do going forward. Okay? So this says, great show as usual. Question, do you think Keith Bell got shuffled? And also, do you think a by-election in North Abaco would take place? Because I don't think by-election will happen. Well, first of all, if Mr. Bell was shuffled, you'd know. It would be announced. And so as far as I'm aware, no announcement has taken place about any changes to his assignment. Okay. Do I think he will be shuffled? I don't think about that at all. I'll be honest with you, I don't think about it at all. And a by-election in North Abaco, the only way there'd be a by-election in North Abaco is if there was a vacant seat in North Abaco, and there is not. The member of parliament for North Abaco remains Mr. Cornish. There is no vacancy in North Abaco's seat at all. Okay, so there's no need for by-election. So do you think the government prorogued the House to avoid answering questions in certain ministries? Well, proroguing the House doesn't prevent you from having questions still put to you. And you don't have to prorogue the House not to answer the questions, because nobody could force the government to answer questions. It might look bad that they're not answering questions, but you can't force the government to answer questions. So if the government prorogued the House simply to avoid answering questions, that'd be really, really ridiculous, frankly. So no, I do not think that that's the reason they do it. I told you what I thought the reason was. I think it's a kind of resetting of things. Legislative reset, not unusual. Sir Lyndon did it I could only recall the prorogation happening under Selinden Senya, but one time, only once. I could be wrong about that, but I can only recall one time. And Mr. Ingram did it, to my recollection, one time. So it's not her. And there's no big deal about it at all in my mind. This text says, so you represent the PIP very well, the PLP. I said, what you want to say, the PLP? So I represent the PLP very well. But first of all, I don't know if you mean PLP or not, because it isn't very clear, but you got to be out your mind if that's your thought. Out your mind. I don't represent the FNM. I don't represent the PLP. That's just a stupid statement to me. Okay, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm giving the facts about what happens in respect to prorogation. So for you to make that comment is really sad. That's all I can say. Boy, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, when the Davis administration presented Speech from the Throne, I did some commentary on it at that time. And one of the things that I mentioned was the fact that the legislative agenda they presented was a light one. It had very few items of new legislative things to happen. It had a fair amount of amendments to things that the Menace administration had done, but it really was not a substantial legislative agenda. Now, given that the House is prorogued and they're going to come with a new agenda, it'd be interesting to see what is presented. I mean, it will be, because if you take the Speech from the Throne, and you look at those items in the Speech from the Throne, the legislative items in that, if that becomes the rehashing that comes forward, it will again not be a very heavy legislative agenda at all. So it will be interesting to see what's put on the agenda for the new parliamentary session. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to See Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everywhere. Fishermen here and there. The Ministry of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs now has 30 services available online. Apply for your agriculture farmland lease, farmers registration and license, and crawfish trapping permits online. All kinds of duty-free and import permits are now just a click away. Visit mygateway.gov.bs and grow your business today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama News in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So having paroled the House, the government kind of invites a review of what it has done in the period prior to prorogation. So now, this is not a question now, because the House was paroled. The cabinet wasn't paroled. The House was paroled, right? So we talk about the House of Assembly and the Parliament. So what was the legislative accomplishments of the government, to your mind, in the last 2 years, having come to office in 2021, what has stood out in your mind in terms of legislation? See, that's what the House of Assembly does. We talked about, my MP didn't give them no park. My MP didn't give us no turkey and ham. That's politics stuff. That's pure, raw-bone base politics stuff. Your member of parliament goes to the House of Assembly to pass laws, right? To either introduce new laws, to amend legislation, to pass resolutions, etc. So. What is it that you can recall? What is it that you can have experienced through the legislative agenda of the Davis administration over the last couple of years, having now paroled the House and going into a new session? Anybody, give us a call. Let me know what laws did you see passed new? What laws did you see amended? And so forth. I mean, so what do you know, one of the things about governing, a lot of things you do in government, a lot of things that you do in the parliament are not going to affect you directly. So for instance, the parliament passes laws that are mandatory to be passed, does things that are mandatory to be done because the law requires it, for instance, for the central bank, for the securities commission, for some regulator. You're not necessarily going to be impacted by that. The law requires if the government is going to grant a piece of crown land or something like that, not the crown grants, but if it's going to dispose of some lands vested in the treasurer, as an example, that it has to go to parliament to do that. If it's going to join a new international organization, it has to go to parliament to do that. So a lot of unsexy things happen in the parliament, put it like that. By that I mean a lot of things that are really mechanical things to be done as a matter of governing, right? And so you're not going to get excited about them. You see the government stand up and say, I move that the passage of this piece of bill to do X, Y, and Z. That has nothing to do with you. basically, it has to do with us collectively, but it's not in any big and profound way. But, you know, very often, it can be the case that the government does things that can be impactful on your life. Has there been any such thing in the last 2 years? Any such thing at all that you can recall? I could answer the question in some ways, but I'm not, I want to ask you, do you recall any such thing that stands out in your mind? This text says nothing, absolutely nothing. Is that how many of all of you feel? Many of you? Well, anybody? Say, I lie. They said if you bring information about an MP being a whistleblower, you're going to jail. Mr. Lang, that's messed up because all two parties benefited by helping get in government by whistleblowing. Well, you ain't gonna go to jail. Well, if you get discovered, you can be liable, right? If you get discovered, because leaking is against, leaking government information is against the law. But you're right. All political parties have benefited from leaking. Leaking is a language of the unheard or the frustrated or the mischievous. Can I say that again? Leaking is the language of the unheard or the frustrated or the malicious. So let me give you this, let me tell you the difference. So a malicious leak is someone who's decided, I don't like this party, period. I am not supporting them, effing them up here. I don't support them in government. So I am going to leak some information that I think is harmful to them because I don't like them. I don't want them in government. I don't want them to come back to government because leaks don't only happen for about government, you know. It is possible for someone in government to leak something about something that an opposition member did while they were in government. That's possible too. So that's malicious leaks. That's spite. That's leak born of, I want to hurt somebody because I feel aggrieved by them, my personal self. They didn't give me a promotion. They didn't give me a raise. They didn't give me a house. They didn't give me my husband, a wife, a contract. So that's maliciously. Frustrated people want their professional people, they're earnest people who want to see something done that needs to be done, something stopped that needs to be stopped. They've been trying different avenues to get it stopped or done and cannot get it stopped or done. Frustration is always tied to an effort to get something accomplished and meeting nothing but roadblocks. That's what frustration is. That's the nature of frustration. And so people then can decide that maybe if I leak this to the right people, it can cause this frustration to be removed because it could get something done. Now, I read somebody was saying leak it to all sides. I mean, don't just leak it to your friends. I mean, seriously, first of all, people who are leaking strategically. You're leaking to achieve an end, right? Now, sometimes it's leaked to the press because you want public shame by the exposure to come to bear on whoever the thing is being leaked about, okay? So sometimes you leak it to the opposition because the assumption is by leaking the opposition, well, there is no greater, more consistent, dedicated force in the country to look at a matter that might be injurious to the government than an opposition. So it should be no... So to ask people to leak to everybody, it doesn't... First of all, like, agency doesn't even say that it worked that way. Because if you leak it to the opposition, what do you think the opposition is going to do with it? it's going to bring it to the forefront, and it's therefore going to be picked up by the media. Why should I then send something here, send something there? I'm increasing the risk of being discovered when I could just give it to the opposition, because that it, I see what happened. Look at what happened. It takes legs. So that's really a non-call to suggest that people should leak it everywhere. That's a non-call. It's non-efficient. It's non-strategic. And it works against a thousand years of leaking, right? You leak strategically. You leak to where you think you're going to get an impact. So that's what the frustrated do. The unheard is not merely only frustrated. The unheard is, these people don't even check for me. I've been saying this, nobody listening, not my supervisor listening, not the supervisor listening, not the this one listening. No one is listening. And so they leak it, and then they go, can you hear me now? So leaking is the language of the unheard, the frustrated, or the malicious, right? Now, you can't always know which is which. At the end of the day, the leaking is a problem, okay? Good governance cannot afford leaks, right? Because you like the leak when it's against the party that you are against. But you ain't gonna want that leak when that leak exposes things that could put your national security at risk, could put your country's economy at risk, et cetera. So that's why leaks are not good. Now, if they happen, though, and they reveal something that is a problem in the governance of the country, well, that's a secondary issue that still has to be addressed, even as the leak and leaking is addressed. Now, stopping a leak, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. It's very hard. Very difficult. The best way to stop leaks is good governance. It's really the best way. It's not the perfect way, because even good governments can be subject to leaks. But again, can you leak something about me that I'm doing right? Right? So if the law says this is how it should be done, and I do it that way, what's to be leaked? You would have to fabricate something, and that's a different story, which could be contradicted by the facts. Right? So, you know, the best solution to leaking is doing the right thing. And if you find yourself having made a mistake, having done something in error, own up to it, fess up to it. Additionally, listen to people. Listen to the people who work with you. Listen to them. You may not agree with them. You may not agree with the director. You may not agree with the permanent secretary. You may not agree with the undersecretary. You may not agree with the team leader. But listen to them and try to talk it through. And sensible, why wouldn't you listen to them? If it ain't sensible, or you don't think it's, you don't agree, you have a different perspective, then that's your right. But when people feel like you ain't listening, you ain't hearing, and you're doing the wrong thing, well, they resort to whatever measures they could resort to. Right? This text says, good day, always an interesting show. I'm disappointed in myself as a voter because I haven't kept track of what the government said they would do, so I can't really measure their performance. I think we sometimes allow political distractions to cloud our memory and don't pay attention to actual legislative matters. Well, at least I have so far. The only bill that caught my attention was the climate bill, which I don't think have been passed. Shame on me as a voter. I guess I will aim to pay better attention to legislative matters. Yeah, well, you're a bigger man than most, person than most, because we many living and admit that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Mark. march the car. The lady run into me, march the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF Margin Loan at rfgroup.com.
Okay, school bag, books, pencils, uniform. Oh, Lord. And I gotta buy snacks, too? Just lay it
on the line. The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever Back to School Snackathon. What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Salomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points, or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
This is Guardian 619 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. All right. So let me do you then this favor. I'm gonna tell you what the government promised in the speech from the throne, October 6, 2021, in terms of legislation. And then if I am successful, I will let you know what was done thus far if I find the list that I have. Okay. I should, but after the news break. So this is what the Governor General, Cornelius A. Smith, His Excellency, said in reading the speech from the throne. This was the government's legislative promises. So you could, if you want to take notes, and if you remember any of these being dealt with, you could go on and you could let me know. My government will amend the Procurement Act to strengthen provisions for Bahamian participation in government procurement at all levels. My government will amend the Fiscal Responsibility Act to strengthen the independence of the Fiscal Responsibility Council. Next one. My government will amend the Public Financial Management Act to ensure full compliance with all existing legislation. Says then, my government will amend the Commercial Enterprises Act. Y'all remember that controversial act passed by the Minister Administration to ensure that when jobs are being filled, Bahamians receive the highest priority. All right. So those are four so far. My government will introduce a merchant shipping bill to bring our jurisdiction in line with its international obligations, contemporary practices, and to enhance our competitive edge in the global maritime industry. That, I can tell you, was done. My government will promote, well, no, that's not legislative. That's a talking point for promotion. So those are the one. Those are the legislative things so far in the speech from the throne. I'm searching to get the other legislative things. The government will introduce a new and progressive building code to increase resilience in the face of climate change. Okay, that's another one. So you are keeping your notes, okay? Remember, we're looking for the legislative things. My government will increase the benefits for persons with disabilities and ensure that the provisions of the Persons with Disabilities Equal Opportunities Act are fully implemented and enforced. And that's not a legislative change, that's an enforcement something. My government will introduce minimum wage and phase in a livable wage to increase minimum wage. So to increase minimum wage, which I believe was done, you have to do that legislatively. My government will introduce legislation for the protection of consumers. So that's another one. Have there been legislation introduced for the protection of consumers? Okay. My government will introduce legislation, establishment of an urban renewal authority. So has a urban renewal authority been established by legislation? That was another promise. Right, so we're looking for legislative things. My government will amend the Hotels Encouragement Act to provide better incentives for Bahamian-owned and joint venture boutique hotels and related tourism offerings. So what's that done? That's another one. My government will introduce legislation to create tax incentives for small and medium-sized enterprises owned by Bahamians. What's that done? Okay, still looking. Okay, my government will strengthen legislation that establishes a sovereign wealth fund. Now, there was actually new legislation to introduce a sovereign investment fund, and I think the sovereign wealth fund was actually done away with. My government will provide the legal, fiscal, and regulatory framework with the creation of the Ministry of Natural Resources and the Environment. So what legal provisions, regulatory provisions provided for the Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment? Okay, so that's about 11 legislative initiatives I've read so far. My government will amend the Education Act to provide for universal pre-primary education for 3 and 4 year olds, consolidate the National Accreditation and Equivalency Council of the Bahamas and the Preschool and Daycare Council, and specify homeschooling modalities. Was their legislation done? Was that amendment affected? That's the question. Well, at least in the session that's just been terminated. My government will empower local government with revenue-raising powers and shared jurisdiction over local affairs and community management and development. That would require legislation. Was there any legislation toward that end? My government will work towards the finalization of a local government act for New Providence. Didn't say pass legislation, said we'll work toward. So, still looking for legislative. No, so we're done. So in total, maybe about 14 legislative initiatives that were announced in the speech from the throne. See, I told you. Now remember now. Now you could either say that was the 5-year plan for legislation, or you could say that was the first session plan for legislation. So I don't know. So how many of those things were actually accomplished so far. Again, you can't critique, oh, they didn't do them all and therefore they failed because there's a five-year term. If they never said it, we would only do it in this particular session, and that's not what it was said. Then there's still the remaining electoral period to do it, right? If you can recall yourself, you could say whether or not these things were accomplished. The truth of the matter is, Bahamians, many Bahamians really pay attention to Parliament when particular things arise. So if the government is doing something in the way of taxation, maybe taxing you more, cutting taxes, you pay attention. If the Parliament is debating some controversial piece of moral thing, like the Sexual Offences Act or the Bail Act or murder, rape, something, the Bahamians will pay attention in many instances to those things for sure. If some controversy arises in Parliament, there may be a lot of attention paid. But as the text has said, I'm not criticizing the population, but I'm saying that if you wonder why perhaps your parliamentarians aren't as vigilant and perhaps diligent as they should be about the things they promised and the things they actually do, you might ask yourself, if you're not following it, as the text says, if you're not tracking it, what does it matter? Like, who's gonna say, you know, well, you promised 15 pieces of new legislation, 10 pieces of amended legislation, and so far you've done two of one and one of the other, and you got 2 years left. So what's the plan? If you're not saying that, then like, why should they really care? Because let me tell you something. Yeah, if you've ever done a business plan, you know, you go and you get your information and you go and you really think that you got a grip on what it is you're seeking to do. And then reality hits it. And all of a sudden, wow, people aren't responding as you thought. The prices are higher than you thought. The cost to operate is different. You didn't really think about this government regulation. This happened in the global economy, and therefore now this is preventing your timely delivery of stuff. So there's an expression that every business plan's first encounter with reality results in change. Let me say it again. Every business plan's first encounter with reality results in change. But governing is the same way. You have these things laid out in your speech from the throne. Listen to me. I want, with the Bahamian public, I want you to listen to me, please. Your politicians write all these things in their manifestos and in their plans for you. They promise you these things. Let me tell you something. Unless they truly, truly, truly want to accomplish them, when they encounter the force, inertia, and activity of governance, they will be distracted to no end, and they will seldom look at this document again. They will not look at it. Because in truth, if this is really what you intend to do, what you want to do, what you believe will transform the Bahamas, if that's what you really believe, think about this. If you really believe that, then every single cabinet minister every day should be looking at those items in that document that relates to their ministry to be pushing them forward. And the cabinet of the Bahamas should collectively be looking at these matters, these things, with regularity to determine, even as we do all the other things that governance is about, are we doing what we promised these people we would do? And if we do not and cannot, have we come back to them and say, you know what, we're not going to likely do that, because here's why. But if there's not really a heart for this, if there's not really any real concern for this, there's no wonder. 5 years will come, and they won't be done, and you won't care sometimes. Because you weren't following and tracking, because it didn't matter to you either. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago, I'm your host. We'll be back after the news break.
FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-6 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So the House has been prorogued. And there should therefore begin soon a new session of Parliament. And with that, probably some announcements about what new legislative initiatives, or perhaps some rehashed ones, will be forthcoming. So I gave you the listing of the legislative initiatives that were read in the speech from the throne. So now let me give you as far as I have, Shabago Sean Lang has. There could be more, but I could give you what I have today, right? But before I do that, this text says, so one thing I can say about you, Mr. Lang, you is be fair, straight across the board. Just because you speak in logic, they always think you support the party. You can't have opinion no more in this country. Texas, good day, sir. I can't recall any significant piece of legislation with regards to crime, immigration, natural resources, or any law that will directly touch the average person in society. Texas, hi, Mr. Lang. Great show as always. I am not sure what you are talking about today, but I am going to throw this in. Anyhow, I think that that Governor General post should go to Mrs. Ruby-Ann Cooper-Darling. That's you. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. So let me tell you what I know has been passed to date. There has been passed. Okay. So obviously all the budget bills have been passed. So we're not going to cover the budget, all the supplementary appropriation bills. So, you know, that's standard. You have to do that. You have to do that for the sake of getting the budget done. So the government passed on the 11th of October. They passed in the House of Assembly the COVID-19 Pandemic Special Provisions Bill 2021. That was to provide for the transition and consequences of the suspension of certain enactments under the emergency powers. So that was passed. There was a bill to amend the VAT that, remember, that was to reduce value-added taxes on most items, except some items were exempted. So that was passed. There was a bill to amend the Stamp Act to provide for the registration of Bahamian ships. So that was passed. The Merchant Shipping Bill was passed on the 8th of December. That was passed by the House of Assembly. See, remember I told you there's sometimes some unsexy things that gets done. So a bill was passed to provide for the continuous service in the public service of Raymond Mackey. Okay, so you didn't pay any attention to that. That had nothing to do with you. But that was passed in the House of Assembly. One was one for Mary Mitchell, too. You know, Mary Mitchell, I think, is in the Treasury. So that was an amendment to the pensions bill. And a number of other people, not paid much attention to that. There was a bill for an act to provide for the establishment, incorporation, governance, control, and administration by a board of the Bahamas Agriculture and Marine Science Institute. So they passed, that was an act passed. It wasn't anything promised in the speech from the throne, but it was passed. There was a bill for an act to amend the National Honors Act. That was done. That was in the House, in the speech from the throne, but that was done. There was an amendment to the Proceeds of Crime Act, and you know the Proceeds of Crime has to do it when you find people collecting money from criminal activity. You know that normally goes into a special fund that's supposed to be used for fighting crime. I'm looking for the stuff that had to do with what was promised. So I'm going through stuff that has been done, mind you. As again, as I said, it's a part of the routine of government. There was a climate change and carbon market that was passed on April 27, 2022. So the climate change of climate change bill was passed. So remember, the Hotel Encouragement Act was supposed to be passed. Something was supposed to be done to do consumer bills. So I'm looking for that kind of stuff. Okay, still searching. I'm down to June 22nd now. So we're back to budget period. So there's a new budget cycle. So you'll have all those budget bills being passed. So there was a promise to do something in relation to the Public Financial Management Act. And so there was a bill to amend the Public Financial Management Act. Now, what particularly was amended, I can't say just at the moment. There was a bill for an act to amend the Economic Empowerment Zones Act. So if you're amending it, you know what that enact amendment did, I do not know. So remember all the stuff that we talked about, we read in the speech from the throne. There was a bill for an act to regulate the trading of carbon credits that was done. So that's I'm now to July 2022. And that's where I am done. I don't have any more from there. So not a whole lot in that up to June 2022 from that list was done. So presumably maybe some of them will come up in this new session of Parliament. Maybe it'll come up in the new session of Parliament. All right, so there you have it. Again, government is involved. Okay, there's a lot of things going on in government. Government is not simply passing bills, not simply going to cabinet meetings. Every day, ministers encounter things that have to be done with the actual ministries they run. So that's the people in those ministries, whether that's hirings or terminations that may be being contemplated, whether that's promotions that may be being suggested or recommended. Ministers have to attend to things related to their facilities that may need financial resources to attend to, may require determinations about lease renewal. All of these things, while the permanent secretary is the administrator, they're seldom excessively material things, instances in which a permanent secretary is just simply going to get something done without going to refer to the minister. So ministers have to be involved with that. They got desks with files about things, and they have, before they make determinations, policy decisions have to be made. And then there's things happening in the society at large that come to their attention, and then there's the collective responsibility they have to what's going on in government, and then they have to be attending to international matters that might come up that may impact the Bahamas or maybe just be impacting someplace else in the world. That has to be attended to, and then they have constituencies, many of them that they have to attend to, and matters come up in respect to that. Then they are human beings. They got family members, and so life happens when you are a minister and a government. And if you're not careful to be organized enough around the foci of what you are trying to accomplish, you can become a glorified administrator. It's what you can become, rather than a policy director pushing, championing, moving for things to be done that consistent with the policies that you promised to implement to the people. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Minister Lang, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Special call for your listeners around the world. I wanted to find out. I far from the radio, so I can't go turn it on so I can talk fast. And I got amend and pass. Tell me if I correct me, please. Amend means something what is already passed, just being amended.
Oh, good question. Good question, Papa.
Yeah. And so far from what you read, the first set of stuff you read, what they promised, the 14 stuff from the June. Correct me if I'm wrong. None? You wasn't able to tick off none?
I think a couple of things were done for sure. Because, for instance,
when you say couple, you mean like two, right?
Yeah, but two. I think two or three at the most. Because certainly the VAC Act was amended. Maritime Shipping Act was passed.
Uh-huh.
And then there may have been one other thing that I recall.
So, Minister, most likely all the things what was amended and passed is things what is good, maybe good for the country, but the things what was promised from the throne, only a couple they get to do in the 2 years they was here so far.
Right.
Sound like. Tell me something. Is you so sad now? It's like we ain't get an opinion of our own, a mind of our own. Just listen to average, right-thinking behemoth or average behemoth, right? Every time you open your mouth, oh, they carrying water for the opposition, maybe because the opposition have their job to maybe cry out for the same things on behalf of the people who they supposed to be serving. Tell me something, Minister. As a former minister now, I know former Prime Minister Ingram and others, them, when things happen, they either reshuffle cabinet or for something in the public or the opposition say anything about it, either fire or accept resignation. And I was wondering how difficult it is for Mr. Davis to accept or demand keep that resignation. But the real question is, right? Same thing with the opposition saying, but this ain't getting no water, sir. This is what we want to know, because we confused, and you're the one who's educated us too. Is it true that the pressure from us feeling like they owe the touch of this new day government will be put in power? The majority of us sound like we feel like they owe the touch with us and stuff like that. We call it pressure. Is it anything to do? But some of us, you know, we can feel such a, we feel like they might either do something wrong or where they was owe the touch and hear people complaining, then all this thing from asking this one to resign and this one either had to either give up a parliamentary, you know, all of that stuff. So is it possible some of that need to make them do this? And when they come back now and then prorogue and some, is something was supposed to benefit us? They have an opportunity to do better or try at least do some of them things, them 14 things was promised. I wonder if they come in with some other things to do again. Thank you, sir. Appreciate listening to you.
You're welcome. No problem. Good questions. Firstly, it's not hard for a prime minister to fire a minister because, I mean, he could write on a piece of tissue that you are hereby fired and that's the end of it, right? So it's not hard from that point of view. The difficulty is firing a minister means that you are conceding that that minister has either been incompetent or has been corrupt or some other way. And that doesn't just fall, that falls on your government. And it has implications across the board. So there's a political price to pay for having a minister either have to resign or being fired. And most, and these are colleagues of the prime minister, so it's not an easy thing, not politically, not personally, and otherwise, for a prime minister to simply fire or request the resignation of one of his ministers, whether that's a junior minister or not. So it isn't hard, but it's not simple to the extent that a prime minister doesn't understand the implications of doing it. Yes, some people might say, oh boy, you don't fool around. You can see you don't fool around. But the other part of it is, no, he don't fool around, but he got corrupt people in his thing, or he got incompetent people in his thing, and maybe that's only one. What about the rest? So you run across that kind of consideration too. Now, in terms of the prorogation, whether the pressure brought that on, I have no doubt that probably I think the totality with the government, with so many fires taking place, I have no doubt that it seemed reasonable and rational to have a reset, to be able to say, you know what, let's end this session, start a new session. It's like having a new beginning. And maybe that kind of puts that behind us, and then we could move forward and people could then say, yeah, but see, when they started the new session, this is what happened, that's what happened. So I have no doubt that some of that is a part of the calculation that may be in Prime Minister another's head. This Texas misaligned, the minimum wage raise is questionable. Let me explain. They raised the minimum wage, then the same week they raised the prices on a lot of things. So now you're making less than before the minimum wage got raised. Well, that's actually possible, but that's not necessarily true. But the truth of the matter is the minimum wage was still raised. So whether in the end it doesn't, the fact is it was raised. Now, whether or not whatever increase you experience from the removal of the adding of VAT onto certain breadbasket items and other things, whether that netted out to erase some of that, well, I don't know that we haven't actually have the facts on that. I don't know that we actually have the facts on that, so I'm not prepared to say that that is in fact the case, you know? But it is possible that people feel that way, that on the one hand, the Lord giveth, and on the other hand, the Lord taketh away. That is possible for people to feel that way. Again, I say, you know, when you get in government, first of all, this isn't even just for government. Let me tell you something. If you have an interest in leading anything, in leading your household, in leading your church, in leading your school, in leading a business, in leading the organization for which you work, let me tell you something. Aspirations are your own. And thank the Lord you have aspirations. But don't get fooled. Your aspiration is not the big deal. Your desire to be the leader is not the critical thing. You know what the critical thing is? The critical thing is your preparation. That's the critical thing. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Wants you to enjoy a classic sandwich so good we've been making it since 1979. Introducing the original chicken sandwich, American style, with fries and a drink for only $7.95, including VAT. This sandwich is made with white meat chicken, lightly breaded and topped with crisp, fresh lettuce, creamy mayonnaise, tomatoes, and lots of American cheese on a long sesame syrup American original chicken sandwich combo for only $7.95, including VAT, at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity. It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it. My sales increased, and I can track my earnings. Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today. Call 356-7764. Fidelity, we're good
for you. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Then you know that you're not alone.
ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. When you get elected to government, so like when you become the new government, there is no question that you come in with a great deal of goodwill distributed toward you. There's a, whether people really even supported you or not, there is at least there is at least the benefit of newness that is attributed to you, so that even your skeptics are in a wait and see. Maybe they don't have that much confidence that you can do anything meaningful, but at least they can't say you can't because you haven't even been given the time. So you have a great deal of goodwill from your people who supported you, and then you have a great deal of good. Then you have some at least marginal goodwill from people who say, well, let's wait and see what happens. But what is also true is, and this has nothing to do with whether you are the Minnis administration, the Christie administration, the Ingram administration, or the Davis administration. Almost invariably, from week 2, 3, 4, you start to lose goodwill. Unless you come out punching, and I'm talking about you do things, and people go, they raise eyebrows, and people go, what? Really? Oh, man. Unless you do that, you start to lose cred almost immediately. And over time, a government, a sitting government, becomes less popular. Unless actually doing things that people can feel, experience. That's reality of that. And that, listen, human beings, Janet Jackson had it right. Remember that song, What Have You Done For Me Lately? That's the natural state of human beings. You say, if I were no man, okay. Forget me and forget you. And forget the government of the day or the government of past. And let's pretend you believe the Bible is true. But even if you don't believe it's true, even if you believe the stories are about at least some, they have some moral behind them. If you believe that, at least the stories have some moral. So God takes the people out of Egypt. Think about this now. Do all kind of miracle to get the people out of Egypt. Causes and parts a Red Sea. Kill up all the Pharaoh and Pharaoh's men, closing up the Red Sea to get them to safety. Feed them manna from heaven. And when they get the manna, they get sick of the manna, they want something different. Give them quail. Get sick of the quail, they want something different. God was their king. They said, God, we want a king like every other nation. We don't want you. God said, but I'm going to be your king. Because if you get a man king, he's going to want this from you, not from you. I'm going to be a king. No. We want a king like every other nation. This is the human beings dealing with God, you know. And how many complaints? They were so bad. Moses lost his life having to deal with them people. So it is not an extraordinary leap that governments tend to lose favorability over time. They are naturally going to do it unless they are performing outstandingly. There's no question about it. Now, if they are really potent, then at least within the 5-year period, they would have done sufficient things to get enough people's attention to say, you know what, they deserve another chance. Finland did that 5 times. Maybe in some instances, just on the merit of his personality and the sensational personality, contradistinction to others who were contending for government. but he did so 5 consecutive times. Mr. Ingram did it twice. He got re-elected consecutively one time. Bahamians, you lose credibility, you lose favorability over time. That's just a natural state of things. That is why I say that really, you really don't have a lot of time to waste when you first come to government. And because you don't, you have to be really focused. I mean, not focus merely on what you want to do, but focus on what you want to do that will experientially benefit the people that you serve. That's just the nature of politics. It becomes worse when you are in an economic environment that is not putting monies in people's pockets. And it's not just putting monies in the people's pocket who are unemployed, you know. It's putting monies in the people's pocket who are employed, but who have used up so much of their discretionary income that they feel like, you know, the headway haven't been working as they have been. They don't give you credit. People don't give you credit in politics for keeping what they had before you came. They give you credit for giving them what they didn't have when you came. You all right, me? Can I say it again? People don't give you credit in politics for what they had before you came. They give you credit for what they got when you came. So whatever you are doing has to be calculated in a way that says, before you came, I did not have this. After you came, I had this. Before you came, I did not have a dog in our community. After you came, we had a dog in our community. Before you came, we didn't have a raise. After you came, we had a raise. So that's how people collect. Think about it. And as long as the experience of life under your governorship does not translate manifestly into better, into feeling better, into seeing better, into the prospects of better, then you start to lose capital. You start to lose goodwill. That's the way it works. Now, a wise leader head in the sand and say, man, they're talking nonsense. Because when you're in politics, I mean, y'all want me to speak freely or y'all want me to tell tales? Can I speak freely? I don't get myself in trouble because I'm not getting anybody in trouble, but can I speak freely? When you are in politics, you are surrounded by two kinds of people. Surrounded by sycophants, or you are surrounded by three kinds of people. Sycophants, pessimists, or pragmatists. Those are three people basically you're surrounded by. A sycophant will praise you all day long. It don't make no difference what you do, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. They'll boy use the best thing since sliced bread. All them other people, they ain't got nothing on you. You are the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, man, listen, we're so happy to have you. And they will defend you, tell them. They won't tell anybody you ever did wrong, you ever made a mistake. They won't ever, ever acknowledge you or anything other than the best thing that ever happened to our country. That's the sycophant. The pessimist, you can't ever do anything right. It don't make no difference if you rain down all the money from glory. They'll tell you, you're raining the money down too fast. It don't make no difference how many people you helped. They'll say there's still more people you could have and they should have helped. That's the pessimist. And then there's the pragmatist who will say, listen, man, you're doing some good things, but I want you to know over across here, people are pissed. And they'll tell you that. You ask them a question and they'll tell you, you know what, but to be honest with you, I don't agree with you all doing that. I still support you all, but I don't agree with you all doing that. That's the pragmatist. Far too often in government and politics, people prefer the sycophants. Of course you would, because you don't want to be feeling bad. So, and that's what a person who's negative or a person who wants to be realistic with you will do. They may make you feel bad. You're trying to feel bad. You're trying to believe with all your heart that everything is safe and okay. Stay right there. Them psychopaths will get you. Listen, if you have a real friend, your real friend will graciously and lovingly tell you the truth, even if it hurts. People who, your critics and things like that want bring you down and make you feel that or need to tell you this so they can feel better. But that's nonsense. I ain't talking about that kind of people. When I was in government the first time, between 2007 and 2002, my best friends in the world, John Wayne Johnson and Dion Gibson and Julian Stubbs, my best friends in the world, we get together regularly when I came back to Freeport, and we get together regularly. And leading up to the elections, they weren't mentioning no words. They was telling me, but things ain't looking good for you all, you know. You have to tell me so. And I tell them, they would always say to me, but because I would defend us, right? And they would say, okay, you must stay right there, but you all stay right there. But they weren't afraid to tell me. They were telling me exactly what was going to happen, they thought. After the election, they said, but Chicago, if you felt like this and you knew that it was possible you all were going to lose, why are you defending it? I said, guys, a boxer, even if he knows his opponent is likely to kick him down, cannot allow himself to simply just surrender to that belief, because then he won't have the heart to even go and fight. I said, so while I acknowledge what was going on and what you all were saying, I had to also go back and fight for a re-election, right? But the truth is, I'm saying my friends were not trying to help have me not know what they were hearing, feeling, seeing, experiencing about what's going to happen. And that's what you need around you. You don't need no sacrifice. They don't know this, but I went away and I told people what I told, what they told me. Right? You stay right there, surrounding yourself with these sycophants. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon. How you doing, Chicago?
Hey, I'm right here, my friend. How are you?
I'm right here, my friend. Right here. A very interesting conversation. You know, I didn't call in on the sycophant, pessimist, and pragmatist aspect.
You've been around politics a long time. I lie.
No, you told the absolute truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help all of us, right? And I want to comment on that, though, but that's not what led me to call in. What led me to call in was when you were speaking about, you know, when you come to government, you come with a whole lot of goodwill, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is the aspect that really grabbed me and got my attention. And as you stated so rightly, if you are a wise leader, if you are a listening leader, if your ear is still to the ground in the country, if you still walk with kings but maintain the common touch, which is what causes good politicians to survive throughout the decades and causes their name to ring out throughout all of the eras in our country, you would be wise enough not to follow the pessimists, not to follow the what was that other one you called? Pessimist?
The sycophant. S-Y-C-O-P-H-A-N-T.
Yeah, I know. Not to follow the sycophant.
I did that because somebody was mentioning something and I wanted to spell it for them.
Okay. Not to follow the sycophant, but to remain composed and to keep your ear those voices that speak the truth, that will tell you, like, as you said, your friends will tell you the truth even though sometimes the truth may not be the nicest thing to hear, even though it may hurt you, right? And I believe from my perspective, now, Shivago, why I call in is, I believe that Prime Minister Davis has his ear to the ground. I believe that Prime Minister Davis is listening to the pragmatists of his party and of the country. I believe Prime Minister Davis still walks with kings, but maintains the common touch, Shivago. And I believe that although I listened to the cries in the country as to why he decided to prorogue the parliament and bringing back a new agenda, but I appreciate that you explained a lot of that away in your opening communication. I believe that the Prime Minister he has the opportunity because he's still Prime Minister. He still has another 3 years left on his term. And I believe that whatever goodwill those around him may have spilled unwisely, right? Or may have used up unwisely against the people. I believe that the Prime Minister still has the opportunity to turn it around. And so I'm happy that he paroled. Pardon me?
No. I said, okay, I got you. Appreciate
right. Thank
it.
You. And thank you for the opportunity, Shivago. Yeah, I look forward to what happens in the next session of Parliament. God bless. God bless you, Prime Minister.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our final break. You're listening to Sea Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Shop early to get your uniforms and catch Janae's Uniform Centers Buy 4, Get 1 free sale. Free monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories, and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags, and raincoats. Buy 4 school shirts, get 1 free. Buy 2 skirts, jumpers, or pants, get the third 50% off. Need embroidery and monogramming done? Visit Janae's Uniform Center early. Beat the back-to-school rush. Janae's Chesapeake Road back-to-school special. Restrictions apply. Tell
them. Being an investor has its benefits. Like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he send me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from now, or 300-8477 from the Family Islands. The Nassau Guardian, Guardian Radio 96.9, Hot 91.7 FM, and Star 106.5 Hits brings you up-to-the-minute coverage of the World Athletic Championships held in Budapest, Hungary. Stay up to date with all of the information on our 11-member team, headed by Stephen Gardner, Devin Charlton, and Shawnee Miloivo. Brought to you by Nagico Insurance, New Life Cell Food, the Bahamas Financial Services, Honda and Chevrolet, distributed by the Nassau Motor Company, Percy's Island Game, and Colina Insurance.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Gentlemen, to Z, so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We've been talking about the prorogation of the House of Assembly and the government's reset of its legislative agenda. Antoine, boy, some folks were not. You know, they were calling on you. They're calling you. So speaking of sycophants, here comes Antoine to prove the point. I'm reading people's texts, man. I read them when they tell them say something about me. I get to read. Say Antoine is a sycophant. Says this text, super extremely sycophant, Sparky pessimist. Mr. Manuman just sycophant, and he appears. Say watch, give it 5 seconds, and he'll prove it. You're on something else. So,
it doesn't matter altogether what we say about our leaders. I'm a big fan and admirer of Hubert Alexander Ingraham. That's a fact. And Hubert Alexander Ingraham allowed me to participate in his government and so forth. He was a mentor to me. So when I say things about Hubert Alexander Ingraham, well, you know, it depends on who you are, but largely people go, well, you expect him to say that. You expect him to say that. So it doesn't hold as much credibility unless it's like information about him. People say, well, oh, you have to be inside to know him. But for me to go and laud Hubert Alexander Ingraham and tell people how I thought he was such a wonderful leader, no, people discount that coming from me because it's me. So if you're the press person for the prime minister, if you're a communications person for the prime minister, if you are a very serious supporter of the prime minister, it isn't going to be a lot of carriage for people to hear you laud that person. To be honest with you, I mean, that's human nature just so active. That doesn't work together. That's one of the reasons why if you are a relative and you're a relative, like if you have a character reference for somebody, even though the character reference can be entirely true, people discount it because you're a family member. They expect that you will speak well of your family member. Okay? So when you are a known, significant supporter of somebody, when you speak on their behalf, it doesn't carry as much weight. If you are a opponent of that person, if you are some stranger nobody really knows, or you know, or somebody who's not so political that people don't expect to hear from you, when you say something, then that's different. So in politics, the biggest carriage of your capital and credibility and goodwill is your performance. I used to say to my colleagues on occasion, some of them, I used to say to them, I said, let me tell you something. If we have to spend too much time explaining to people the good we did to them, then obviously we ain't do that much good for them. Think about that, right? Like, if you have a child who's eating an ice cream, and the child is like not as cream should be. You have a problem. Jesus says, if a man testifies about himself, bears witness about himself, his witness is not credible. But if two or three other people bear witness, then okay. So it matters where your witness comes from. And the best witness in politics is the witness of experience. The experience of your leadership, the experience of your governance, the experience. You can't be responsible for every bad experience people have. I know people are unreasonable that way. There's somebody got injured, there's somebody got damaged, there's somebody got fired, they lose their job, they lose their house, they blame that on you. That's not reasonable, and you can't stop them from doing that. But when the broad population is experiencing an economic circumstance that doesn't bode well for them, when the broad population are experiencing, if they are experiencing good or bad in their encounters with government agencies, when the broad population hears you, sees you do things good or bad, then that general experience of you is really the greatest witness to who you are for them as government. And that is one of the reasons why, you know, let me be honest, Anton, I can tell you the truth, right? People aren't interested if you have your finger on the pulse of what's happening to them. They are interested that if their blood pressure is up, can you bring it down? If it's low, can you bring it up? They're not interested in whether or not we have our ear to the ground. They're interested in our response to the things we are hearing. And that's the telltale sign for them of how they will feel about you. That's really the reality. And I don't know when we are going to understand that in politics. I don't know when we're going to realize it, but it's not about how you feel about what you are doing for people. It's not about how you and your colleagues feel amongst yourselves about what you've done. At the end of the day, it's about what people feel and are experiencing. Now, if in fact you've done your best, and people still aren't feeling, oh, what you can do? Try to lay your head down and rest yourself and get some sleep and move on. And if they fire you, tell them, thank the Lord Jesus, because it's your right to fire me. But be sure, at the end of the day, what will ultimately matter is how they are experiencing. That's the bottom line. And a big part of that is their financial experience in the place. A big part of that is their hopefulness about the future. A big part of that is their experiences interacting with you, either through the media, interacting with you, through the agencies that you lead, interacting with you, through the on-the-ground encounters that they may have. That might not be a fair deal, but it's the one you got. It's the one we've all had. God is my witness. I have never been angry at people for voting against me. I have never been angry about losing an election. I have always believed with the greatest of conviction that I serve at your pleasure. And if you won't get rid of me, that's your choice and you're right. And that's why when people sometimes say, Mom, you quit politics, I say, I ain't quit nothing, Jack. People fire me. As was their right to do. And I hold no grudge for any single soul who has ever, ever voted against me. I do not. Why should I? It's absolute nonsense. This is the nature of our democracy, that we get to support what we want and not support what we don't want. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabaru Lang, your host. So glad that you could tune in today. God bless you. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by AML Foods Limited, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever.